everybody say, so we're going to learn a piece from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky on Tshuva. This is in his Sefer on Rosh Hashanah, I believe. And we're going to start on the bottom of 204, Hakem Takem Imai. So he quotes Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov, of course, wrote the classic Sefer Shari Tshuva, which is the Sefer after the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva to learn if you really want to get into the underpinnings of Tshuva. And so he writes as follows, Rav Eliezer. V'isbar ba'tayra, and it's explained in the Torah, ki yazar Hashem la'shavim, Hashem doesn't only give us the gift of Tshuva, but we have to like run through crazy obstacle courses to get it, but he actually helps those people that want to repent and come near him, kasher ein yativ ha-maseges, when the person naturally is unable to do that. I'm not able to naturally do tshuva. It's a big thing for me to do tshuva. But Hashem will help us. V'chadesh v'kirba ruach tahayro v'hasik malas avasai. Hashem will give us a renewed spirit, a pureness, in order to understand His love. Shenemar, b'shavta Hashem lekecha, you will return to Hashem b'shamata b'kailoi, you will listen to His voice, b'chol asher nech mitzavcha yayim ato v'necha, b'chol lebavcha b'chol nafshecha, b'ayim b'gop ha'inyon, u'mal Hashem lekecha s'lebavcha v's'lebav zarecha, ma'asig abasa. So the Rabbi Yaakov learns from these psukim, he darshins them and he understands them to mean that when we naturally cannot do tshuva, Hashem comes to the rescue and He gives us a great dose of Abba. And He not only does He give us Abba, but He gives us the spirit to appreciate who He is and to really fall in love with Him, as it were. Rabbi Misyasha Meiresh, the problem that we have is that we give up too soon. We're very quick as human beings to go through what's called yish. We're just like, we throw in the towel right away. L'scharek mischartin. You want me to do hafcharata about what I did last year? Fine. L'svadis, you want me to clap al chetz? I'll clap al chetz, I'll be misvadit. I'll confess. Aval kabbalah la'asid. But when it comes to being mekabel on myself going forward, b'achlata nechusha, with a very emphatic declaration and decision, they chicken out. As soon as I could confessing is easy, having charata is easy. I mean, I do have charata. I have charata that I did all those sins. I feel terrible. I ask myself, like, what were you thinking every day? And right, you regret sinning. Vidui is pretty easy. The one catch of tshuva, it's a three-step process, and two out of three is very simple. The hard part, if you're intellectually honest, is being mekabel ala asid, to say going forward, I will not do this or I will do that. I have charata about all the lashon hara that I spoke, how many lives I've ruined through my lashon hara. I'll be misvada achet shechatan l'fanacha b'lashon hara. But can I really say honestly that I will never again speak lashon hara? That if tonight in the dormitory people are going to start schmoozing with me and something juicy comes up, can I honestly say that I'm going to shut my ears, run out of the room, scream lashon hara, and never do it again? That I don't know about. I'm not so sure that I could do that. And I know that I can't. In my heart of hearts, honestly, I know that I'm not going to be able to do that. Makir mi'matzim, because I know myself. I know my weaknesses. Hein b'rishus libam. Hayetzer chazak mayam. The Yetzahara is out. He's stronger than me. They asked, Ezer Hashem le'evinu b'cheshman. They didn't take into account this that Rabbi Yaina says. Rabbi Yaina says that if you just try, Hashem will help you. He will do the impossible for you. But we don't factor Him in. We factor our Yetzirah in, our weaknesses. We immediately recognize that in the past I haven't been too good with my Kabbalas. And therefore, if judging by past performance, you know, even though the commercials always say past performance is no indication of future results, but to me it is. I think past performance is going to very much affect and you know, tell me exactly, predict my future results. So I don't bring in Hashem's intervention into the picture. And so we're miyash, and that's the pity of how we fall short every single year with tshuva, because it's the kabbalah la'asid that we get hung up on. We get caught up on the fact that I can't, and I'm not going to be able to do this. So, and therefore it renders the tshuva incomplete. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this golden opportunity to do tshuva and to move beyond our averus, and we could abandon it, but, you know, I can't. I'll tell you a story. There was in Radin once, on Purim, there was, the Chavetz Chaim came to the yeshiva Suda, and there was a boy, one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva, and he was shikr. And he approaches the Chavetz Chaim in the state of shikras, and he says, Rebbe, promise me that I'm going to sit in your mechitzas in Eilam Haba. In the next world, I want to sit right next to you in your skybox. That's where I want to be. Promise me that I get into your skybox in Eilam Haba. So his friends cop that he is speaking, he's not speaking rationally and soberly. So they start pulling him away, and he breaks away from their clutches, and he goes back to the Chavetz Chaim, and he says, Rebbe, you're not answering me. I want you to promise me that I'm going to sit right next to you in Eilam Haba. And the Chavetz Chaim again, like, sort of, like, you know, whisks him, you know, tries to, like, leave me alone. And then again, he comes forward to the Chavetz Chaim. He says, I insist that you make that promise this firm. So this time, the Chavetz Chaim looks at him in the eye and he says, fine, I promise that you will sit next to me in my mechitzas and in my bar, but on one condition. So at this time, the boy wasn't prepared for any conditions. No one wants to make, I just want a, you know, just a free pass. He says, what's the condition? He was sobering up pretty quickly. He says, the condition is that you never speak Lashon Hara for the rest of your life starting from now. If you're makabel on yourself that you will never speak Lashon Hara going forward, you will sit in my mechitzas. And this boy started, like, stammering and, you know, stuttering and, you know, back in the, he just started like walking away. And the Chavetz Chaim said, a person is standing on the threshold of Gan Eden, and he gives up, he's miyayish, he basically just concedes that he doesn't want it. He says, bah. He's very upset with Chavetz Chaim that this boy turned down that golden opportunity. My hesafa on this story is that, you know, we all look at this boy like, what a tippish. Like, the guy had the opportunity to sit with Chavetz Chaim in his mechitzas, and he took a pass. Was he crazy? And my horror is that offer was not made to Chaim Shmuel, that buffer in Rabin. That was an offer that presumably would be applicable to all of us. Chavetz Chaim wasn't specifically giving that offer to that boy. Anyone that wants to take the Chavetz Chaim up on that offer is probably assumed to get entry into his mechitzas in Eilam Haba. So if that bacher is a tippish, which, you know, I don't think it would be unfair to call him that, we have to call ourselves tipshim also. Because we also have that, so why don't we? If my hanukkah is true that we could all sit mamish in Gan Eden Ha'elyon next to Chavetz Chaim, why wouldn't we? The answer is because we know our Yetzirah, and we know that I've always been really bad with Lashon Hara. I have a very big taiva for it. So for me it would be disingenuous for me to undertake that and to say I'm never going to do it, because I know that I will do it. And that's sort of what happens to us every Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, Aseres Meshuva, is that we're clapping the alchetz, we're doing the lip service, but in our heart of hearts, we always feel that, like, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. And a lot of guys always come to me before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur time, and they ask me this question, like, who am I fooling? Like, I'm supposed to be klapping al chet and the vidoy, and you're supposed to be klapping. I know that I'm not going to be able to do any of this stuff. I'm going to speak Lashon Hara, I'm going to, you know, look at Dvar Masur, I'm going to listen to Lashon Hara, I'm going to, you know, speak Sheker and Chazov and Litzanus, and that's who I am, that's who I always was, and presumably that's who I'm going to be. So who am I kidding? And even if I'm a good boy for a couple of days, how long is it going to last? After Sukkot, am I still going to be Yom Kippur Dick? Chassid Yaivet Zatzal Hidi, Divrei HaKasov, Goel Al Hashem Darkecha, Ubetach Allah Uyasa. Okay, so go means to like roll, like a galgal is a wheel, right? So Goel Hashem Darkecha means you should roll on Hashem his path. We'll see what that means soon. Ubetach Allah and rely on him, Uyasa, and he will do. So what does that mean? What does that possibly mean about rolling? So, mashal ma'ad avadem, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky gives us a mashal. Actually, he's quoting the Chassid Yavetz, I'm sorry, who gives us mashal. La'adam shabikesh libdeis bayis beimek. A person wants to build a house, and the house is all the way in the bottom of a valley. Al-lahar, so he climbed up the mountain by the valley, umatzadil, he finds a beautiful big rock, which would make a perfect cornerstone for the house. The only problem is, how do you get it from up there or down there? Am I going to lift it up? I can't. It's too heavy. I can't lift it. I can't put it on my shoulder. And it doesn't occur to me that I'm able to go down with it. However, there is another path. What's that path? How do I get it down there? Very easy. Yitchay faisa, just give it a little push. Yasko galgal, get it to start rolling. Umei laha tidar der betagila emek. That's the best way to get something down, right? Use gravity. Just roll it a little bit and let it roll until it just completely, you know, goes to the bottom. Zemash and nidrish mea adam. This is what's expected from man. Amar. V'davon HaMelech v'shmiyanu v'pasuk zeh, ki hayavan lisayin. Davon HaMelech was, he experienced this, so he was giving us advice. When did he experience this? Kol Yisanek, by Goliath, the great giant that he fought. Levush hashirayin, v'chanisay maginay. He was all bedecked in his suit of armor, and he had a helmet on, he had all the Shmaya Begadim on him, this Goliath, Goliath, and...
Distant relatives?
Oh, of the Plishtim? Goliath and Dovin?
Or Paul.
Oh, that's true. Very interesting, I forgot about that, right? Chayref... So David HaMelech went against him with a bunch of stones. You can't beat this monster, this huge battle. He was like a tank. It's going up against a tank with stones. How do you do that? David HaMelech knew that B'derech HaTeva wasn't going to work, but he went against him with Siyat Vishmaya. He knew that Hashem, and he relied on Hashem to help him out. He said, I can't do this on my own, I need you. Yom Rabbi Sinish Nasim Magin HaNechreshish HaPnei Goliath. That helmet that was made of lead that was on his head, on Goliath's head, Rach Kebotzik, it became soft like dough. Vatitba HaEvim Mitzvah. And the Pasuk says that he used a slingshot and he shot the stone and it went right into the helmet. And it went into his forehead and it killed him. What do we learn from that? That sometimes you can't naturally understand how anything is going to be possible. But if you're simech on Hashem, and you just give it a little nudge from your own part, you just try, you let HaKadosh Baruch Hu finish the job for you. I don't have to schlep a stone by myself. It's impossible for me to schlep a stone. But if I go to Hashem, if I use Hashem as like a sort of like that stone that I could roll a little bit, and then once I give it that little push, then it'll just roll down the hill by itself. That's how life is in general. Life is like that in general. All you have to do is start the process. You think you have to finish the process, and that gives you a lot of yish, because I can't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help us. He's waiting to help us. But he's waiting for us to initiate the process. And once we initiate the process, then it happens on its own. Do you think that anyone in their right mind would start, let's say, a yeshiva? Start a yeshiva. If you start making a cheshbon, let's say you decide, I have a good idea for yeshiva, I want to start a yeshiva for this type of population that really needs it, and you start making a cheshbon, you start sitting down with your wife and saying, does it make sense? Dr. Lander, Oliver Shalom, once I was sitting with him in a car, and he told me basically his story, how he started Turo College. Turo College today is, 25,000-30,000 students, hundreds of thousands of alumni. But at the time, he was a man who had many jobs. He had a young family, he had to support them. And he wanted to start this college under the Jewish auspices. And basically, he had this idea for Turo, but it would involve him leaving all of his well-paying jobs. They would not have a real source of income. But he said to his wife, came home to his wife one day and he said to her, says, I want to start this. And she said, Bernie, this is what he told me. She said, Bernie, if you want to start it, I'm behind you. Now, if he would have made a cheshbon, a normal cheshbon, all right, would it ever fly? I'm going to have to come up with salaries to pay, chashuva professors and get a piece of real estate somewhere and then pay rent and mortgages on that and then buy desks and buy blackboards and buy erasers and then you have to provide food and lodging and then who knows how many expenses. You can't do it. You wouldn't start Turo College, you wouldn't start a yeshiva, you wouldn't start a kollel, you wouldn't start an elementary school, you wouldn't build a building, a skyscraper, whatever. You wouldn't do anything, because if you sit and make a cheshbon, it's not going to happen. What's the eitzah? How do you do things in life? You just start it. You just start it, and then it almost happens by itself. I see it in my own life, like a lot of things that I do, it's like my books for Arts Girl, all right? I'll talk about myself for 1 second. So they're pretty big, fat books, or a ton of pictures or whatever. People say, how do you do it? Like, where do you find the time? How do you find the research? Where do you find the letters from, the speeches, this, that? And you know what the answer is? I mamish don't know. I don't know. All I do is I start the process, and before you know it, the book is in my hands from Arts Girl. I kid you not, I'm not trying to be humble or whatever. That's the way it goes. And if you ask, I think, any person that does anything in life, how did you do this? How did you build this family? How did you build this yeshiva? How did you start this law firm? How did you, whatever it is that you're doing, how did this hospital come to be? I started it, we had a board meeting, and one thing led to another, and here's a hospital. That's the way it happens. It's not like somebody's like mamish every day, I'm meless until they're like, it just sort of happens by itself, if that makes any sense. You just have to start. Obviously you need a good team and all that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu really does do everything. All he needs from us is just to start pushing the rock down the hill, and then the rock will just gain its own energy and its own momentum, and then you'll see the money will come, and the people will come, and the students will come, and whatever you want it to do with Siyat Nishmaya will work. But it only works if somebody starts the process. If you're going to just sit on your hands and say, you know what, can't do it, then it's for sure not going to happen. It's for sure you're not going to write a book, you're not going to open a yeshiva, you're not going to get married, you're not going to have a family, because you're waiting for something. It's not going to happen. You have to do the first step. Like with everything in life. But tshuva is very, very like this. There are many chazal and that you're supposed to just open up a little hole for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pischuli Pesach Kechudesh Al-Machad. Make a little pinprick the size of a pin. Vani Eftach Lachem Karubas HaShamayim. I will open for you the greatest amount of space in the world. But you have to start the process. And that's what Shuvah is. Dover Echam Nidrash Meitan, there's one thing that's expected of us. Kisira Chamar Sainacha Rebe Tzachas Masrali. It's a pasuk in Shemais. If you see, in Haggis Meshbachim, if you see your neighbor's donkey and it's being crushed under its own burden, under its cargo, the Chadalta Me'azaibla, it's a question. The Rashi is a question. And you're going to not help him? You're going to ignore him? No. Azaib Tazaib Ima, you should go and help him. You're not going to just stand, and not help a person if he sees in trouble. So if we're in trouble, we have all these averas, Hashem's not going to just sit idly by and watch us sink. But there's one important factor that you have to know about this pasuk. Parak v'tan, afilo arba v'chamisha pam chayiv. Even if it's four or five times, and you took off the load, and you reloaded the donkey, and it fell again, and again, and four or five times, huh, you got to keep on doing it. But the pasuk tells us that let's say the owner of this chamar, it's his chamar is in trouble, the cargo is too heavy for it, it collapses under its own weight. He knows that you have a mitzvah to help him out. So you know what he does? He sits on the side and he does nothing. Let's say, let's modernize it a little bit. He has a flat tire and he calls you over to help him. And he's just you're like getting the jack out of the trunk and he's just sitting on the side of the road just looking at me. Or he's on his phone checking his email. You don't have to help him. He has to help himself. He has to do it together with you. He has to assist you. If he's just sitting idly by, you got the mitzvah. It's your mitzvah. If he has that attitude that he's not helping me, I could just take a walk. I don't have to do this. It's not my mitzvah anymore. Shenemar imai. It says, azay tazay. You have to help him, but imai. It has to be together with him. He has to cooperate with you. He has to help you. And if the Bailam was old or he was sick, then obviously he's not, if the guy's 90 years old and that's why he's not helping you, obviously you got to do it yourself. But if he's able-bodied, he could help you and he should be able to do the tire, help with the unloading, loading, and he's just sitting there smoking because that's your mitzvah. Goodbye. I don't have to do this. Iman. It has to be only together with the owner that I have this mitzvah of Azav Tazav. And of course, we learn from here, Anu Tzrichim Lasas Kol Shev U'Kaychenu V'Azir Asenu Hashem U'Kaychai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. But there's an expression, God helps those who help themselves. You can't just do nothing. You have to try, and meaning the mitzvah guy who's going to be, he might be an expert in, he might be a chaverim guy, he might know how to use the jack a lot, but you got to try out. If you're just sitting doing nothing, and you're expecting him to do everything, he's not expected to help you. Hashem is going to help you, but only if it's imai. He wants a partner here. What does it mean, a partner? It means that I have to not just do charata and vidui, but I also have to do a Kabbalah alaos, and I have to say, I want Tavshin Te'al to be a year that's Gishmak, that's going to be a Vaidus Hashem, that's going to be no Averis, no Wahab, now you're being dishonest. Right now, on Yom Kippur, as you're clapping Al Chet, by Slichas, you're clapping Hashamim, whenever you're being Misvada, whenever, right now, in the classroom right now, we can do Vidur. One time I did a by Shalosh Shudis, I think on Shabbos Shuba many years ago. I said, listen guys, I could give a shmooze about tshuva and all vidui, whatever, and it would be very inspirational, everyone, Shkayach would be excellent, but you're not going to do tshuva. So instead of doing that, it was a big crowd, it was before Corona, we had like and it was a big Ayilam in Yeshiva. I think it was Shabbos Shuva maybe with a 3-day Yantar. So it was a very big Grand Yeshiva. I said, let's do Tshuva now. Instead of giving speeches about Tshuva and then nothing happens, let's do Tshuva. And we actually, a room full of us, went through the 3-step process of Tshuva. I described what Charata is, and of course how it makes sense that be mischari over what we did bad, and be misbada, yes, we did Averis, and then Kabbalah, Asin, and then like we had a whole room of people that actually did Tshuva. And if B'shas Maisa, you really mean that this is what you want, I mean, let's say I say, I'm misbada, and I'm Kabbalah, Asin, that I will not speak Lashon Hara. On Yom Kippur, if I tap you on the shoulder and I say, buddy, do you really mean it? Do you really never want to speak Lashon Hara? What would you say to me? Of course, I don't want to speak Lashon Hara. I don't want to be close to a Rebbe. I don't want to ruin people's lives and do such a terrible Aveira. If you mean it really, if you're just doing a head fake with Hashem and you're just like trying to get through the din, not going to help. Hashem knows what you're thinking. But if you sincerely mean, I will not speak Lashon Hara, I do not want to look at any bad stuff anymore this year. I don't want to go places that are bad. I don't want to hang around with people that I shouldn't be hanging. Whatever it is, I want to learn Torah. I mean it all. I want to be a perfect person. On Yom Kippur, you feel clean. You feel pure. I really mean it, and I intend to do that. So then you're good. Then you have charata, you have vidui, and you have a kabbalah, and it's all genuine. What happens tomorrow? If we fail, we fail. We're human beings. Doesn't mean that the Kabbalah itself was not real. It was a real Kabbalah, just, you know, we slipped up again. It's not, but that Kabbalah itself, the mere fact that I really intend to change, that's a nudge of the rock. And suddenly the pull of gravity, the force of the Rebbeinu Shalom will kick in, and it might be Shaykh that you're actually able to have, if not a perfect track record of Lashon Hara for the year, but a pretty good one. Because Hashem will help you. If you really intend it seriously, Hashem will give you Siyat HaShemayim. The only thing is, if you're wondering, how come I never have said, because you never intended it seriously. You were miyayish, you didn't think it was possible. It wasn't iman. You weren't assisting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You were sort of saying, okay, God, help me and do it yourself. He's not going to do that. You got to do a little bit, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, Mirza Hashem, do the rest. So don't be miyayish, because you're dealing with God. You can be miyayish yourself from picking up a desk like this, but if all of a sudden I had 10 real strong people helping me, I wouldn't be miyayish, because I know it's easy to do. If we have the power of the Rebbeinu Shalom that we could tap into, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like telling us, just do tshuva, I'm here for you. I'm begging you, I'm going to help you, it's going to be, but just ima, just help me out a little bit yourself, like start the process. As soon as you start the process, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you started it, I'm going to be here with you. And it's amazing what a person can do. I remember when I was in Kol Torah, there was a guy who was like 20 years old, like I think he was married, I'm not sure. And some the rumors about him were that he didn't speak Lashon Hara since his Bar Mitzvah. He's a normal guy, but he knew Hilchos Lashon Hara backwards and forwards. He learned Shmiras HaLashon perfectly, and he was Makbid Gomer never to speak Lashon Hara. We might know Hilchos Lashon Hara, we might know what's sort of Mutter Aser, and you know, we'll slip up here and there. He never uttered a word of Lashon Hara for 7 years from the time of his Bar Mitzvah, and I am pretty sure that until today, which is another 30 years later, he probably still has not spoken Lashon Hara. It's doable. It's not like something that's impossible. We could do it. We're not different than him. The only difference between us and him is that he had a resolve and he trusted in the Rebbeinu Shalom that he would help him fulfill that resolve. If we would actually trust in the Rebbeinu Shalom and his power and his spirit, the Ruach HaDasha that he could blow into us to be able to, we could do anything we want. Nothing is impossible. And that's the site of Tshuva. That's what we start with. That's what Rabbeinu Yehuda is saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, he's pleading with us, I want to help you, but you have to start the process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the Abba, the Yer Shamayim, whatever you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help us. We have to start the process by ourselves.
Okay. But the fact that we are back here again, we need time. come to God.